Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, are we living through a mass formation psychosis moment? What is the ASH conformity test, and how does that all tie into what's happened in Uvalde, Texas? You can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. You can always email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from all of you. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We were just talking about how we're going to be at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit next week in Tampa, Florida. Real America's Voice is going to have a big presence there. And if you are anywhere in the Southeast, well, actually, if you're anywhere in the country, you should really consider coming. It's going to be one of the most amazing events of the year. We have phenomenal speakers already confirmed. And so we have from Turning Point Action, we have Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis that will be there. And then Turning Point USA, we have Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Laura Ingraham, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Kat Timpf, Pete Hegseth, Congressman Byron Donalds, Ben Carson, Senator Rick Scott, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, Governor Kevin Stitt, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Dave Rubin, Victor Marks, Sean Foyt, and a group of great pastors as well. David Engelhart, Mark Burns, Samuel Duth, and Rob McCoy, all at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. And people of all ages are able to come. It's a student-focused event, but all ages, I encourage you to be there. If you live in Florida, if you're driving distance to Tampa, it will invigorate you. It's a nonstop immersion event in freedom. We're going to be doing our show from Tampa, Florida on Friday, and then we're going to have Ron DeSantis that evening, Donald Trump on Saturday night. And it's just part of this growing movement that we have at Turning Point USA of high school chapters, of college chapters that are rising up. And this is something I want to touch on, but there is this citizen-led movement in our country that is very promising. Someone sent us an email yesterday, freedom@charliekirk.com. They said, Charlie, the only thing that's different with all the globalist aims and ambitions is that the more they push, the more the people are awakened. And that is exactly right. We need no more milquetoast, vanilla, moderate, middle of the road type posture. We need bold and decisive action. And we're seeing it all across the country. We're seeing it in countries like the Netherlands. We just saw a massive victory happened in France, by the way. We'll talk about that, how the French parliament met and basically got rid of vaccine passports and got rid of COVID testing to get into the French government. We're starting to see this happen in every corner of the country in a very profound and major and significant way. And that's all going to kind of be culminating at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. There's still some tickets remaining. It's tpusa.com/SAS. You could use promo code Liberty to get a discount on it. 5,000 plus students will be there from all across America. And I know a lot of you say, oh, Charlie, why should I have hope? You know, I need some hope. You want to get hope? You come to Tampa and check it out right now. We are going to lead today with an unfortunate vindication of what we saw in Uvalde. What is toxic masculinity? For years, the radical left and what we have seen on college campuses, they have been pushing for this idea that we must destroy toxic masculinity. That masculinity itself is something that we must deconstruct. That the reason we have high crime, the reason we have widespread chaos, the reason we have all the suffering is because of men and masculinity. As taught in most schools, it says the following, quote, toxic masculinity involves cultural pressures for men to behave in a certain way. and it's likely this affects all boys and men in some fashion. Toxic masculinity refers to the notion that some people's ideas of manliness perpetuates domination, homophobia, and aggression. The idea of toxic masculinity is this idea that men trying to use their strength to protect people that are not as strong is inherently wrong. As if the idea of a man is someone who's out of control, belligerent, and dominating, not someone who is prudent and looking after protecting the innocent. Now, this whole idea of toxic masculinity is pushed by a group of college academics who they themselves want to try to feminize the country. There's been a lot of great scholarship on this in the last couple of decades. Now, there have been a combination of these cultural and political influences over the last couple of decades. And unfortunately, it has real life consequences. Now, we need to break free of the tempting paradigm. I mean, tempting, it's very alluring to try to just all of a sudden put on our team right jersey and say we must defend everything that the left hates at all times, no matter the circumstances. Now, let me preface this by saying I'm very pro-police, and I know you are too. Our police are heroes. They do a wonderful job. A country without police, defunding the police is the dumbest idea ever, and we cannot tolerate it. But we as conservatives should not get into the business of defending cowardly, immoral, inappropriate behavior just because that person is a cop. You need to be pro-facts. You need to be pro-truth. You need to understand the circumstances. Motivations matter. Period. Now, some conservatives say, Charlie, you can't criticize the police under any circumstances whatsoever. So the tragic shooting happened in Uvalde, Texas, when 21 children were slaughtered. We went on this program, and we were rather forceful. We called the cops cowards. We blamed the long delay time. And many of you had our back, and thank you for that. However, we had a lot of people that emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com and said, Charlie, the police did a wonderful job. I can't stand your program. How dare you attack the police? We had many of our listeners say automatically the police are heroes for what they did in Uvalde because they've been trained like Pavlovian dogs. Oh, conflict, the police must be in the right. By the way, generally that's true. Generally the media tries to stoke too much emotion. Generally the media does have an anti-cop campaign. The recent revelations of what we have seen in the last couple of hours only further vindicates our original argument where we said that this, and it's not a bridge too far to say this, that if the cops would have acted, it could have been a situation where one or two children might have tragically died or zero children might have died. New images have been leaked from the Uvalde police situation. And it all ties to this idea of the left trying to attack masculinity because what we saw were men, in air quotes, who call themselves men that acted like chickens, cowards, whatever word you want to put. Now, I'm gonna talk about some of the cultural factors that play into this. Maybe they were afraid of being sued as a police officer and all this. None of that is an excuse. We'll talk about part of it. We'll talk about how the war on police might have played into their paralysis. We'll talk about some of it, to be fair. But let's be honest. The new revelations are so shocking. They are as follows. And it, by the way, it's a fact. It's an arguable fact. It's not an opinion. I know a lot of you emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. And you said, Charlie, Uvalde police are perfect. How dare you touch them? Got a lot of those emails. Disturbing new footage shows Salvador Ramos, the shooter, roam the Uvalde school hallways and cops running away from gunshots. New video shows. Cops responding to the Uvalde, Texas shooting ran away from gunshots while 19 children and two teachers were left to die in their classrooms, according to the New York Post. The disturbing new video, obtained by the Austin American Statesman, shows how police officers dilly-dallied in the hallway of the Robb Elementary School. Instead of charging towards 18-year-old gunman Ramos as he systematically slaughtered 21 people on May 24th, the cops let it happen. By the way, we said that on the original broadcast, and many people didn't believe us. They said, Charlie, cops wouldn't sit idly by when children get slaughtered. No, they would. And they did. The 77-minute clip shows officers rushing into the school just minutes. So this was the hour delay of was of their own making. After the 18-year-old Ramos began his rampage. But rather than confront him, they stopped and lingered with one cop in a helmet and a vest who, while the children are being slaughtered, checked his cell phone and went to go get hand sanitizer. So at least he wasn't going to catch germs while children are being slaughtered. And he has a helmet and a vest on. The officers are also captured fleeing down the hallway when Ramos fires in their direction. By the way, these are armed officers. So they're getting fired at and they just run away. The video validates reports that local and state authorities failed to take immediate action to stop the bloodbath despite just yards from the shooter. Picture after picture shows officers on their phones, potentially scrolling through social media. We don't know what they're doing on their phones, but it was minutes where they were just kind of flipping through their phone. Maybe they were doing a TikTok video while kids were being slaughtered. I don't know. It's not until 77 minutes into the recording that the cops finally breach the classroom where Ramos, who died in the attack, had gunned down the innocent kids and teachers. It is conceivable, we don't know this for sure, that if the cops would have acted with precision and action and courage, it would not have been a 21 child slaughter. We don't know how many. It's impossible to know. But if they would have acted within minutes, I don't think 21 kids would have died. And who is the mayor mad at of Uvalde? This is such a typical politician move. Who's the mayor mad at? He's mad that this footage and these pictures have leaked. How dare you leak the fact that our police officers were flipping through social media and getting hand sanitizer while children are getting slaughtered? How dare you leak those images? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm glad that the serpent left-wing activist media got their hands on these images. I'm glad. Because cowards, regardless of their profession, I don't care if they're cops, I don't care if they're teachers, I don't care. And you shouldn't either, by the way. And yes, the war on police play a role, and the BLM stuff plays a role, and the toxic masculinity stuff all plays a role, but enough. Who are you as a human being who sits on your phone and gets hand sanitizer while children get slaughtered? The Uvalde police officers could have shot the gunman, but then they waited for the supervisor's approval. And then the Uvalde mayor, this slob who calls himself a politician, who should resign in disgrace, he says, well, I dispute the report that officers had an early chance to shoot the gunman. Just lying. The video is very clear. 77 minutes of police officers flipping through their phone and getting hand sanitizer. What does that say for where we are as a country? Look, we talk about current events a lot on this show, but there's other things that are in life that are bigger than current events, bigger things. We try to do some shows every so often on these things. But look, what am I talking about when I say that? How about good and evil, right and wrong, prayer and the Bible, or heaven and hell? So look, the great C.S. Lewis, who's one of the most amazing minds ever to exist, was a master at addressing these questions. And that is why Hillsdale College, the great college, the only college, in my opinion, wants you to learn more about him and his writings in their newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. And it all starts with taking a short quiz to find out how much you already know about Lewis. He wrote more than the Narnia series, by the way. Look, Hillsdale College is amazing. They defend liberty. They pursue truth. They do a great job. So just write this down. This should be your go-to resource. Remember, I have taken 16 of their online courses, and I have promised Dr. Arn I'm eventually going to finish them all. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com to take this fun interactive quiz and then sign up for this free course. The answers may even surprise you, even if you think you know everything about C.S. Lewis. They surprised me, my goodness. The quiz, the course, and everything you learn at Hillsdale College are yours for free, as always. So take the C.S. Lewis quiz, charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Take as many online courses as you can. The Constitution course is amazing, but their C.S. Lewis course is extraordinary. And by the way, Hillsdale College, just phenomenal. charlie4hillsdale.com. This is a police officer responding to the Uvalde shooting, seen casually using hand sanitizer during the massacre. It's cut 42. 21 kids are dead, but at least his hands are free of COVID. I want to read one of the emails we responded to, and I'm focusing on this for a couple of reasons. Number one, we need to hold these people accountable. But number two, I think it's important because the way some of the conservative movement responded to this was very telling to me. And I don't want us to get into the same sort of muscle memory we have to defend all the aspects of quote unquote our team as the left gets into. And so, for example, some people said I was rushing to judgment when I went after the Uvalde police when we did. There was plenty of information for us to make the argument we did when we did it. We did not speculate. We weren't taking a risk. We weren't going out and guessing. It was all there. It just so happened that more and more evidence has come that has doubled and tripled and quadrupled and quintuply proved our point. For example, we got this email from one of our listeners. Charlie, I have followed you for a long time. I can't believe how judgmental you were today towards the police officers in Uvalde, Texas. You were not there, and for you to say such is deplorable. Shame on you. I have no words. We have one email after the other. Charlie, you need to check your facts. These guys acted just fine. How dare you attack police officers? And I'm only bringing these up because I think that we as conservatives, we must be understanding of the nuance of all situations. But if you are automatically defending an entity, an organization out of immediate impulse, that is not a winning political movement. It's not. Now, generally, the police act wonderfully. I'd say 99% of the time. I think that the anti-cop narrative might have played into some of their inaction, but I don't take it as an excuse, and you shouldn't either. You're trying to tell me that it's because of all the anti-cop rhetoric that the guy was like, well, I got to flip through my phone and get hand sanitizer. Okay, anti-cop narrative. There's one good email here, and it's actually a very fair point. I'll be very honest. This is a good point. They said this, Charlie, I think that cops acted inappropriately, but we must understand they were afraid that maybe they would have gone to jail for wrong firearm discharge and all this. I totally agree. Do it anyway. So what? You're right. You might be castigated. You might die. You might get shot. Part of the job as a law enforcement officer and a cop, and many of them are far more courageous than I am. Of course, they go into this every single day. Is that they go straight into the line of fire and they're willing to put their life on the line. And part of that social contract is then we as taxpayers will make an obligation for pension benefits and healthcare benefits and support them. And we should, by the way. That's why we celebrate them. And what angers me so much and what should anger you is this gives a bad name for police officers all across the country. And I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do what the left does, which is, oh, all police, all this. That's nonsense. But I'll read another email. Back from the Uvalde situation. Charlie, I'm very disappointed in your inaction, your action on the Uvalde episode. Your commentary was nauseating. You admitted you didn't have all the facts. Well, no, I said we didn't have, you're right. I had most of the facts, but turns out we were right. Yet you judged and crucified officers who were dealing with the toughest decisions of their lives without having all the facts. I was an extremely loyal listener, listening to every single episode. I can no longer support you or your endeavors. I'm a first responder wife and formerly first responder. I hope they'll reconsider. I've sent angry emails in my life before that I regret. But what does that say about our movement? That you attack the host that just looks at the facts. So let's look at it ourselves. Let's play cut 51, which is the officers intentionally run toward the classroom where the kids are. But once they hear the gunfire, they run away. So as soon as the cops hear gunfire, they run away from the shooter. What we did not know up until this latest leak is that the cops were in the building before they went into the classroom, before this maniac went into the classroom. They very well could have neutralized him before he killed a single kid. That might be an oversimplification. Sure doesn't seem that way. This is a wild clip that you're about to watch. Officers running away from the conflict. And not just one, all of them. Play cut 51. Oh, cops running away from the shooter as it's there.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The recent rulings from the Supreme Court, they didn't happen on their own. It took support of companies like Patriot Mobile, who passionately fought on behalf of the unborn and your constitutional rights. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative mobile phone provider and has been on the front lines fighting for your values. Inflation has really made it hard on Americans. Thankfully, Patriot Mobile has plans for almost any budget. They offer the same nationwide coverage as all the major carriers. You get the same service, and your money is going to a company fighting for the sanctity of life, religious liberty, and the Second Amendment. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. If you're a veteran or first responder, please let them know because they have special discounts just for you. Join our movement and make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Here's one of the emails. Mr. Kirk, you're irresponsible, incompetent, and objectively foolish, as in the absence of wisdom, diatribe today about law enforcement delaying entry into the Uvalde school is no better than Obama's reactionary idiocy when he was president. By the way, we have tons of these when I did this. Do not throw away the credibility you've built. Wait and get the facts. Well, we did actually wait till we had the facts. Unfortunately, the facts were, the additional facts on top of what we already knew was even worse than we could have possibly have imagined. Now, I want to be very clear. Our position here at its core is very conservative in these terms. We're pro-Second Amendment, and we want people to be self-sufficient, and we want people to be able to protect our protect their families. We're very pro-police. We're pro-rule of law. And you know what really bothers me? We got one email here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Where he said, listen, Charlie, I am a skilled tactical officer, a veteran. He said, I would never allow children to perish on my watch 77 minutes when something like that happened. And that's what bothers me, is that this gives a bad name to the other heroes that do daily amazing work. But it does beg the question, that is worthy of explanation, about what was the psychological conditions that created this. Now, I believe, and I know this is a harsh thing, and you might disagree with me, freedom@charliekirk.com, I believe every single one of the police officers that were in on this should face criminal charges. I do. Now, some of you say, well, Charlie, they were just following orders. I buy that for 15 or 20 minutes. I would like to believe, and maybe I'm not that person, but here's what I'll say. I won't involve myself in this. The heroes that I know, that I have met, that stormed the beaches in Normandy and ran into the towers of 9/11 and barely survived before they collapsed, just following orders, I don't think is a sufficient explanation or excuse when you hear the screams of children being murdered for 77 minutes. Just following orders is an excuse that is given by the sentry guards of totalitarian governments in every corner of the planet. I was just following orders to get people on the train. I was just following orders. Now, here's the tragedy of this. And I'm not saying they deserve this. I think some of the police officers who did this, who let the children get slaughtered when they were flipping through their phones or getting hand sanitizer, you're going to see a lot of them commit suicide, tragically. You're going to see a lot of problems in their marriages, a lot of psychological trauma. And some of them for the rest of their life are going to have to work through that if they don't kill themselves. I don't want them to do that, but it's just, unfortunately, after these mass traumatic events, you do see a lot of that happen. It's tragic. It's terrible. I don't wish that upon them. The oath that they swore, though, is this. It's the law enforcement oath. On my honor, I will never betray my integrity, my character, or the public trust. I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions. I will always maintain the highest ethical standards and uphold the values of my community and the agency that I serve. That's the law enforcement oath. The country that I grew up in and that many of you remember before the war on toxic masculinity, the war on police, before BLM, before these stupid smartphones, the country that many of you remember was the country that stormed the cockpit of Flight 93. The country that ran into the two towers. Civilians, regular people. 77 minutes of paralysis as this was happening. So I believe these police officers need to be held criminally accountable, especially the people giving the orders. You could chalk it up to criminal negligence, to something even more severe than that. I'm not a prosecutor, and I don't play one on TV. We'll play cut 62. I think this clip has sound for you on television. You'll have to see it. This is the shooter walking in the hallway, and a child sees him and runs away. I don't know if this is before or after the police officers running away from them, but play cut 62. Kids coming around the corner, shots fired. What we didn't know up until recently is the cops were just steps away. So what was the psychological reason this all happened? It's easy to blame it on cowardice, and I definitely think that's part of it. But the reason I'm spending as much time as I am on this is let's use this as a nationwide teaching moment for all of us to understand the power of conformity. You see, courageous people that think independently are able to break free of conforming mass psychosis and act appropriately. So there was a very famous psychological test called the Ash Conformity Test, A-S-C-H. It was part of what was called the Ash Conformity Experiments. It was conducted by a guy by the name of Solomon Ash. These experiments reveal the degree to which one person's own opinions and actions are influenced by those of a group. So basically what they would do is they would show three different lines, one that was noticeably and inarguably longer than the other. So they would have basically a group of students, let's say 10 students that were all in on it. And then they would have an 11th student who was not in on it. And the 11th student would enter into the classroom. The 10 students would all then be asked the question, hey, which line is the longest line? And the 10 students before the 11th student would all pick the second longest line, not the longest line. And so one after the other would intentionally being in on the experiment, make it seem as if they were picking a line that was not correct. What was extraordinary is that over 80% of the time, either 70 or 80% of the time, I could look into the actual documents that Solomon Ash published, the 11th person would then go against their own instinctive, let's say, gut reaction, and they would go with the 75%. Okay, 75%. That's right. My memory was right. Would go with the 10 prior people that would pick the not as long line. Now, we all know that B is the longest line, for example. But what was so amazing about the Ash Conformity Test, and it's been replicated across the world in different cultures, different backgrounds, different ages, different demographics with controls and all of that, and it works almost every time scientifically right around 75%, is that you're looking right now at the thing on the screen, the measurement on the screen, is that we all know B is the longest line, but everyone would say that A is the longest line. And 75% of people would then go along with what was said prior just because the other 10 people said what they knew was not true. They did not believe their lying eyes. And what we saw in Uvalde is a tragic and instantaneous example of mass conformity. The Ash Conformity Experiments showed that even someone who's an independent free thinker, someone who is very smart, someone who might know what to do, who's courageous, might be succumbed to a different pattern of behavior. And so this is a good lesson for all of us, myself included. God forbid you ever have to be in a situation where the shots are firing. But when they are we going to conform? Are you going to conform to the next thing? And I don't think it's disconnected to say that the conformity of cowardice that we saw in Uvalde for 77 minutes is directly connected with some of the mass formation psychosis that we have seen over the last couple of years. Put a black square in your Instagram to fight systemic racism. Okay. Send $57 billion to Ukraine. Okay. Go wear a mask while you shower. Okay. Vaccine mandates for children. Okay. 15 days to slow the spread. Okay. Is it too far to say, and I don't think it is, but you might disagree, that we have created a paralysis of conformity where people know that the children are being slaughtered and they go to their only defense mechanism. They take out the digital pacifier. They take out their phone. What else are they supposed to do? And all of this is related with our relentless war on men in our country and toxic masculinity. How many other examples are happening? While this one is one that we should focus on. Because I think that it is a microcosm of a macro sickness. I think it is a microcosm of something that's happening almost every single day. How many times, maybe in a less, let's just say a less compressed example, are we seeing evil happen around us and we check our phone or we go to get hand sanitizer? How often are we seeing, and again, it's not as graphic or as tragic as 21 kids being slaughtered in front of us, but might happening in slow motion around us? Or is it now the generational perspective of, that's not my problem? You mix conformity with cowardice, deep down, some of those police might have said, well, those aren't my kids. I don't care. They're going to have an explanation and to hold themselves, they're going to be held accountable, hopefully for the rest of their life. What the celebrities tell us is right, or what to do, people conform to almost instantaneously. And I just want to say this, most cops are wonderful. They're fabulous. But you must hold accountable of which the things you love. I'm not going to tolerate, as an American, and you shouldn't either, a law enforcement officer who goes to get hand sanitizer and checks his phone while children are being slaughtered. There's something deeper going on here. Spiritual sickness, a moral weakness, a lack of action. We can all learn from it. We have to identify it. We have to go about solving it. I asked the question earlier this week, are we ready for a war with China? Before we're even ready to answer that question, let's ask ourselves the question, are we willing to storm a classroom to save 21 kids from being slaughtered? Or are we too busy getting hand sanitizer and looking through our phones?
Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com.
The more confusion we have about what a man is and what a woman is, do not be surprised when you start to see men be cowards, confused, and unable to act in a way to defend the beautiful, the weak, the good, or the innocent. You could tell a lot about a society on whether or not they are willing to put their lives or their reputations on the line to defend those that cannot defend themselves. Somebody asked me a question once when I was at University of California, Berkeley, and they said, Charlie, why is abortion wrong? And they were very pro-abortion. We are more developed. Why shouldn't we be able to terminate the fetus? And I said, because in any functioning moral framework, the strong must protect the weak. What did Jesus say? Greater love knows, there's no greater love known than this, than those who are willing to lay down their life for their friends or for those around them, to the original Koine Greek. Were those, what moral paradigm were those cops operating from? Yep, cowardice, of course. But they were caring more about self-preservation, maybe living out to get their pension, go getting a country home, and not caring about the words that used to build America that our beautiful veterans follow every single day. And by the way, 99% of cops do every single day. Duty and honor. Do they even teach that anymore? Well, I know in our military now they're teaching transgender pronouns and they're teaching CRT and they have drag queens at Air Force bases. That word duty and honor, what does that even mean anymore? Remember, this is why the climax of all the stories that we hold so near and dear of Star Wars, of Lord of the Rings, of Harry Potter, the climax of those is the evil transforming to the dark side and they have to kill the innocent. Like, remember, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, you must kill the young. It's the ultimate shift into darkness, but it's more than that. Evil will always try to terminate children. The question is, will the strong allow it? That's the question. The Greeks, the Romans, the Chinese, Indus River Valley, the Mesopotamians, they all always have a fascination with the termination of children. The Aztecs as well. Civilizations that never came in contact with one another were always trying to terminate children. The only question is not why are they trying to do that. There's a spiritual, I believe, demonic influence to try to wipe out children. No, no. The question is, will the good do something about it? Will the strong use their strength for something not just of hand sanitizer and looking at their phones? So let's broaden this. Are we going to be looking through our phones and getting hand sanitizer when the kids in our local school district are being abused? Are we going to say, it's not my problem, I'm just going to flip through my phone? Are you kidding me? Come on. For a long time, I've crisscrossed the country and I've said we have to be very careful about being a spectator for what's happening in the country. I can't think of a, unfortunately, tragically, a better metaphor than what we saw in Uvalde of people that had the power, the guns, the vests, the training. And they were like, it's not my problem. It's not my kid goes to private school. I homeschool. It's not my kid. I don't care.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.